Chapter 7. Punching into the whirling wall of the hurricane, scourged by screaming winds, blankets of hail and rain, and tossed by downdrafts and updrafts through unimaginable turbulence, the 29-year-old Orion P-3 Hurricane Hunter aircraft took the beating in stride. Her wings flexed and fluttered like blades on a fencer's sword. The big propellers on her four Allison 4,600-horsepower engines chopped her through the deluge at 300 knots. Built in 1976, the Navy, NOAA, and NUMA had never found a better aircraft that could stand up to the punishment of violent weather. Remarkably stable, Galloping Gertie, as she was affectionately named, with an animated painting of a cowgirl riding a bucking bronco on her bow, carried a crew of 20. Two pilots, a navigator and flight meteorologist, three engineering and electronic communication specialists, 12 scientists, and a media passenger from a local TV station who asked to come aboard when he learned the Hurricane Lizzie was building into a record-setting storm. Jeff Barrett sat relaxed in the pilot seat, his eyes sweeping the instrument panel every other minute. 6 hours into a 10-hour flight, the gauges and lights were all he had to look at, since the only thing to be seen through the windshield was a view similar to peering inside a washing machine on the soap cycle. With a wife and three children, Barrett saw no more danger in his job than if he were driving a trash truck through a downtown alley. But danger and death lurked in the swirling cloud of moisture smothering the Orion, especially when Barrett made passes so low over the water that salt spray spun off the propellers and glazed the windows with a frost-like film before he spiraled up to 7,000 feet, flying in and out of the worst part of the storm. Corkscrew penetration was the most efficient way to record and analyze the hurricane's strength. It was not a job for the unintrepid. Those who flew into hurricanes and typhoons were a special breed of scientists. There could be no observing storms from a distance. They had to get down and dirty, flying directly through the aerial maelstrom, not once, but as many as 10 times. They flew without complaint under incredibly appalling conditions to sample wind speeds and direction, rain, air pressure, and data on 100 other measurements they sent to the Hurricane Center. There, the information was fed into computer models so meteorologists could forecast the strength of the storm and issue warnings for people living in the predicted track to evacuate the shoreline in an effort to save countless lives. Barrett wrestled easily with the controls that were modified to endure extreme turbulence and checked the numbers on his global positioning satellite instrument before making a slight course adjustment. He turned to his co-pilot. "This is a real bad one," he said, as the Orion was jolted by a sudden wind surge. The crew spoke through microphones and listened through headsets. Any conversation without the radio had to be shouted into an upturned ear. The shriek of the wind was so piercing it drowned out the exhaust roar of the engines. The rangy man slouched in the co-pilot seat was sipping coffee from a covered cup through a straw. Neat and fastidious, Jerry Boozer prided himself on never spilling a drop of liquid or a sandwich crumb in the cockpit during a hurricane stalk. He nodded in agreement. "The worst I've seen in the 8 years I've been chasing these things. I'd hate to be living in her path when she reaches land." Boozer picked up his microphone and spoke into it. "Hey, Charlie, what's your magic department reading of the storm's wind?" Back in the science compartment, packed with an array of instruments and consoles crammed with meteorological electronic systems, Charlie Mahoney, a research scientist from Stanford University, sat strapped in a chair facing a matrix of sensors that measured temperature, humidity, pressure, winds, and fluxes. "You ain't gonna believe this," he answered in a Georgia accent. "But the last drops-on profiling system I released recorded horizontal wind speeds of up to 220 miles an hour as it fell through the storm toward the sea." "No wonder poor old Gertie has taken a beating." Boozer had hardly mouthed the words when the aircraft soared into calm air and the sun glittered on the shiny aluminum fuselage and wings. They had entered Lizzie's eye. Below, a restless sea reflected the blue of the sky. It was like flying into a giant tube whose circular walls were forged with swirling, impenetrable clouds. Boozer felt as if he was flying inside a vast whirlpool whose pit led to Hades. Barrett banked and circled within the eye while the meteorologists behind gathered their data. After nearly 10 minutes, he turned the Orion and headed into the tortured gray wall. Again, the aircraft shuddered as if it was under attack by all the furies of the gods. Abruptly, it felt like a giant's fist had smashed into the starboard, sending the plane over on one wing. Anything that wasn't tied down in the cockpit, papers, folders, coffee cups, briefcases, were hurled against the starboard bulkhead. No sooner had the gust passed than a blast of even increased force hurled the aircraft through the turmoil like a balsa wood glider tied to a fan, sending all the loose debris crashing against the opposite side of the cockpit. The double shock came like the blow of a tennis ball from a racket against a backstop. Barrett and Boozer were nearly frozen in shock. Neither had ever experienced a collision with a wind gust of that magnitude, and not one, but two in almost as many seconds. It was unheard of. The Orion shuddered and fell off in an uncontrolled bank to the port. Barrett felt a sudden loss of power, and his eyes immediately swept the instrument panel as he struggled to level out the aircraft. I'm getting no readings on number four engine. Can you see if she's still turning? Oh, God, muttered Boozer, staring through his side window. Number four engine is gone. Then shut it down, Barrett snapped. There's nothing left to shut down. It's fallen away. His mind and strength fully concentrating on righting the Orion, Barrett twisted the wheel on the control column and fought the pedals, not comprehending Boozer's dire report. He sensed something terribly wrong with the aerodynamics. The plane was not responding to his physical commands. All response was extremely sluggish. It was as if a giant rope with a weight was pulling the starboard wing from behind. At last, he brought Gertie into level flight. Only then did Boozer's words come home to him. It was the loss of the engine, torn from its mountings by the violent assault of the storm that threw the Orion out of control and was causing the starboard drag. He leaned forward and stared past Boozer. Where the Allison turboprop engine had been attached to the wing was now an empty gap with twisted and torn mountings, severed hydraulic, oil, and fuel lines, mangled pumps and electrical wiring. It shouldn't have happened, thought Barrett, incredulous. Engines simply did not drop off aircraft, not even under the worst turbulence. Then he counted nearly 30 empty, tiny holes in the wing where the rivets had popped out. His foreboding grew as he saw several cracks in the stressed aluminum skin. A voice from the main compartment came over his headphones. We have injuries back here, and most of the equipment is damaged and malfunctioning. Those who were able, tend to the injured. We're heading for home. If we can make it, Boozer said pessimistically. He pointed out Barrett's side window. We have a fire in number three. Shut it down! In the process, Boozer answered calmly. Barrett was tempted to call his wife and say goodbye, but he was far from giving up. Getting sorely wounded Gertie and her scientists out of the storm and safely back to land would take a miracle. He began to mutter a prayer under his breath as he used every fraction of his experience to fly the Orion through the vortex into calm air. If they escaped the worst of the chaos, the rest would take care of itself. After 20 minutes, the wind and rain began to diminish and the clouds lighten. Then, just as he thought they were through the clouds, Lizzie threw one more punch and sent a wind blast that struck the Orion's rudder a punishing blow and crippled what little control Barrett and Boozer had. All bets of a successful attempt to reach home were now off.